Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This hour of the Annie Fry Show is sponsored by The Loading Dock. River views, outdoor dining, live music, and overnight accommodations. Visit GraftonLoadingDock.com.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a Mary the sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a Mary the sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Friday. Happy to be with you today. There's a million ways you can listen to us. So if you're just getting back to the office because your lunch is over, make sure you pop us up on that Odyssey app and stream us live, 97.1 FM Talk, streaming all the time. You can rewind on there. You can also subscribe to the Annie Fry Show podcast. And you can watch us on your computer, on your phone, on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. You can watch us on the Facebook page, facebook.com/AnnieFryShow. And today we are streaming straight to Twitter at Annie Fry Show. So the story came out about Chris Cuomo, and does it have a consequence? I kind of think it does. Chris Cuomo, who is the CNN host, not to be confused with former Governor Andrew Cuomo, there was an email that was sent, or that was exposed, I guess, because he responded back to this accusation that this woman made. This woman was his former boss, and Chris Cuomo shows up at a party and goes up to this woman to greet her. And she's sitting there right with her husband. Her husband is right there in plain view. And Chris Cuomo goes up to her at a party, gives her a big hug, grabs her butt, and says, "I can do this now that you're no longer my boss." What? Excuse me? A part of her body now is fair game for you because she's not in a position of authority towards you? I mean, this is what he said to her when this happened. And it's pretty ridiculous to know that this is the kind of behavior that people who come onto your TV screen and want to shame everybody else for their behavior, that this is what's going on in the background. I guarantee you if he did it that one time, that's not the only time he did it. You don't get caught doing the only thing, doing something like that the only time you do it. So I'm curious to see how Chris Cuomo is going to handle this, because let's be real about this. In the wake of Governor Andrew Cuomo being removed from office because the sexual harassment scandal that he got caught in got too big for him to sustain it. And we know that Andrew Cuomo had been consulting his brother Chris Cuomo about how to handle these kinds of accusations. Kind of weird. Why would you? Do you go to your brother because they're your brother? Or do you go to somebody who knows how to handle these kinds of things? I don't know. But how is CNN and Chris Cuomo, who is certainly still on the air, how are they going to handle this? Is he going to own it? Is he going to have any consequence for this? So Shelley Ross is the name of the person who told the story. She has an email that is out there now, and it's Chris Cuomo responding to her uncomfortable experience. And this is what Chris Cuomo said. Though my hearty greeting was a function of being glad to see you, Christian Slater got arrested for a kind of similar act, in parentheses, though born of an alleged negative intent, unlike my own, parentheses, and as a husband, I can empathize with not liking to see my wife patted as such. So pass along my apology to your very good and noble husband, and I apologize to you as well for even putting you in such a position. Next time, I will remember the lesson, no matter how happy I am to see you. With the subject line, now that I think of it, I am ashamed. So he had to be confronted with this behavior in order for him to think about it a little bit and realize that it was shameful. And then he cites a Christian Slater incident where he was arrested, and I think charges were dropped on this, according to what I heard on Fox earlier today. He separates himself from the big bad Christian Slater and is like, although this is similar, I'm not like that because my intent was good. I just said recently that intention should always matter, but at some point, your intentions that are trumped by your action of physically possessing a woman's body without her consent and thinking in your head that somehow or another it's permissible because that person is no longer in authority over you is pretty crazy. The date on this email is Wednesday, June 1st, 2005. So this happened in a different time. 2005 and 2021, boy, we've come a long way in the Me Too movement. We've gotten to the point where all of a sudden, like when the Me Too movement first hit, do you remember how many people were coming out of the woodwork going, oh, I've experienced sexual harassment. Yeah, I've definitely dealt with sexual abuse, you know, and it was generally speaking, the way it was being talked about on the national stage was certainly more from a Hollywood standpoint or from, you know, the rich and famous women coming out and saying that this is just kind of the status quo in that industry. And I'm sitting here thinking, why did it take so long to speak up on this issue? And why are Americans across the country being subjected to what, it, to me, in hindsight, going back and looking at award shows and listening to these women who would win an award and go up on the stage and, you know, be tearful and talk about what they had to sustain and what they had to overcome to get to this moment and how that moment would mean so much to them. I'm like, oh, I get it now. Now I understand. What was status quo in that industry is not what is status quo in every industry, but this is an issue that is pervasive, and the Me Too movement came out and really brought it to center. Funny how what we were just talking about with Joy Behar on The View and Bill Clinton and her coming out and saying that the real victim of Bill Clinton's was America and Hillary Clinton because Bill Clinton put Hillary Clinton into a position where she lost to Donald Trump. Because Donald Trump exposed some of Bill Clinton's indiscretions by bringing those women to that one debate. That wasn't the first time people had heard of Bill Clinton's indiscretions. That in and of itself was not why Hillary Clinton lost that election. So if Chris Cuomo is coming out now and we know that he had been engaged in this, how are they going to handle this? This is a moment to see what Chris Cuomo is made of and to see what CNN is made of. I recall a time when Fox News was under assault from left-wing media because there were a lot of improper things going on in Fox News between the men who ran the place, men who work there, and the women who work there. We've heard plenty of those stories. They made a movie out of it. Did you see Bombshell? Did you ever take that?
That movie doesn't interest me.
No, it's not supposed to. That movie's not for you.
No.
I haven't either. It's probably for me, but I haven't seen it either. We've heard these stories You know, when this was all going on at Fox News, you know who was at fault then? Republicans. Conservatives. You, listening right now in your car in the drive-thru lane. If you subscribe to anything that Donald Trump ever did or maybe voted for him because you couldn't stand Hillary Clinton, when Fox News was going through a sex scandal crisis, it was the fault of conservatives. You know why? Because Democrats have so successfully put conservatives way, way, way up there on a moral pedestal, a high ground that conservatives didn't ask to be put on, but have been so historically terrible at marketing themselves. You know, trying to speak in logical terms with graphs and charts that nobody wants to listen to. And meanwhile, the left is successfully telling everybody that if you're a conservative or if you're a Republican, then you just believe so highly of yourself that you're better than everybody else. That is a long, long, long distance to fall. And the elevation of people like you or people like me, potentially, that elevation on that pedestal is something that Democrats have successfully done so that when you fall and you fall hard. And if they're lucky, they put you up high enough so that when you fall, you're toast. You're dead. Democrats don't have to live in that standard because Republicans don't do that back to them. They probably couldn't do that back to them because most of the time when Democrats are elevating the self-expectation of Republicans and conservatives, they're doing it on a religious ground. You know, if you say you're a Christian and someone's not a Christian, they're like, well, why do you think you're better than me? And I'm like, well, you clearly don't understand what a Christian is. And if a Christian, if somebody claims to be Christian and is telling you that because they're Christian that they're better than you, then they're doing it wrong, which is probably sadder. Democrats don't have to fight this moral battle because they have not been forced to do so, which is why when Bill Clinton is seducing young interns in the White House, it's not the girl, the intern, who's the victim. To Joy Behar, America is the victim. And like I said, let's be honest, Joy Behar is the victim. In Joy Behar's eyes, Joy Behar is always the victim. Donald Trump was no, you know, upstanding moral example for the country, which is why the left contorts themselves and pulls their hair out trying to beat him, because it should be so simple. And you as a Republican, or you as a conservative, or you as a Christian, we've heard that one before, for you to support somebody who is so morally vacant as Donald Trump, how could you? Well, you're conflating two different things. You're conflating political, secular aspirations for the country or security for the country with my personal moral understanding, which is based in faith. A lot of people who vote Republican don't have a moral understanding based in faith. It is not a requirement to be Christian or religious to be a conservative or a Republican. They consider it to be completely hypocritical when you vote Republican and support somebody who is so obviously a sinner. And I'm like, but we're all sinners. I mean, as a Christian, that's the whole point, right? So to suggest that I shouldn't be supporting people who are sinners, I should be supporting people who are good people who wouldn't behave in such a way. And then their moral examples are, as Joy Behar said earlier, Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden. I mean, these people have a lot of brokenness in their lives, too. And I'm talking about, you know, apolitical brokenness, just standard broken world brokenness in their life that is kind of sad to observe. Republicans don't fight these fights on the same ground with the same standards as Democrats do. And the sooner I realized that, it became a lot simpler to defend my beliefs, because I don't buy the standards with which the left makes us fight. In what world do the people in the media on the left and CNN and MSNBC get to obsess over the sex scandals at Fox News as the main core of their coverage for some time and then defend Chris Cuomo for his indiscretions? Has Chris Cuomo changed? I mean, this email, this apology email, is a pretty good apology email, I feel. The way he really own that what he did was wrong, said that he thought about it, that he learned, and that he understands that his behavior was inappropriate, apologized to her husband. These are all things that people should do. But what he's asking from Shelley, he never, ever, ever in his primetime show gives anybody who politically disagrees with him. So you hear these stories and you say to yourself, should we be spiking on Chris Cuomo because he's a hypocrite and blah, blah, blah. I actually want the world to work more where Chris Cuomo comes and says, I blew this. I screwed this up. I was incredibly inappropriate. I will never do this again. And I apologize to you and everybody else who was around who was offended by this.
Now, that's going to be on us then, right? So if he does come out on his next show and says that very thing, then if we want to see that world, then we're going to have to be okay. I agree.
Quick to forgive.
Yeah, I forgive you.
Quick to forgive. But if he comes out the next week and doesn't extend that same thing to other people in his circle because he's scoring points off of that, that's part of the equation too. And that's where people get so bent out of shape. Is forgiveness, we should always be ready for forgiveness, but that doesn't mean that we blindly forget. And like, this is a 2005 incident. This took place a while ago. Will there be people coming out of the woodwork, as there were with his brother, saying, this is my experience with him, this is my experience with Andrew Cuomo, this is my experience with Andrew Cuomo? I don't know if there will or not. But he is not going to be held accountable the same way if Tucker Carlson had this story come out in 2005. No way. And you know it, and I know it. And once we accept that the standards are different, we can't appropriately react and move forward in a way that mutually benefits society. Let's take a quick break. We're going to divert a little bit into sports. So much to be talking about right now with the St. Louis Cardinals, the Blues, a little college football maybe. Kevin Wheeler's going to join us in studio here in just a moment. And Ryan Wiggins is going to join us after that. We're going to talk a little bit more with Rob Kramer as well in the 2 o'clock hour. Please join us. We got a lot of people watching right now on our live stream. So join us at Facebook, at Twitter, YouTube. Just type in Annie Fry and you'll find us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Annie Fry Show.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon, now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T, or download the List app on the App Store today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Find the podcast, on-demand audio, and more at 971talk.com/Annie.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for being here today. Appreciate it. It's a beautiful Friday afternoon. Like, fall came in right on schedule. I'm pretty impressed with fall's timing. Well done. And it feels kind of like fall in St. Louis, which I'm excited because I really wasn't anticipating it. We've got Kevin Wheeler here in studio.
Hey, Annie!
Let's talk a little business of baseball here.
This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you
hit the ball, you catch the ball.
There's no crying in baseball!
Cardinals, Blues, and more with sports reporter Kevin Wheeler.
I'm wearing my Cardinals hat, and I haven't worn a hat in studio in a year and a half, and I keep hitting it in this microphone. Hi, Kevin.
Hi. I can't wear hats in studio. It's always weird. It feels weird over the headphone, under the headphones and all that.
I look very mysterious on the webcam, though, because you can't always see my eyes. We work really hard to light my spot because I look younger when I'm well-lit and look older when I'm not.
Oh, and is that how that works?
Mark, yeah, you just smooth out your face.
So I need better lighting is what you're saying.
I mean, that's a you thing. I don't want to weigh in on that. That's
I don't
a totally
worry about
you call.
Such things, whatever.
You can see that I'm like being blared out here, yeah. So the skin is smooth.
Nice.
So the Cardinals don't suck.
No, how about that?
Wow.
Yeah, that you know, it's an interesting dynamic to me with the team, right? I mean, they haven't had a losing season in 14 years.
Really?
Yeah. So the last time they had a losing season was 2007. So
right after we won the World Series.
Yes.
And
yes.
It was a crap season.
Yeah. And it was, a lot of injuries, a lot of weird things happened. That was the year that they fired Walt Jocketty and then John Mozeliak took over. So they've never had a losing season under
Mozeliak. So Mozeliak on paper is doing not so
well,
bad.
Well, not if you ask a lot of Cardinal fans. You talk to a lot of people.
That's
like,
what I said on paper.
Mo's terrible. And this, like, you know, I don't know that people really understand how hard it is to have 14 straight winning seasons. Like, I think the only other team that's there with you right now is the Yankees. I think they've had 14 straight also winning seasons. And oh, by the way, they have.
Let's talk about the cash infusement on those.
I know, exactly. Yeah, let's talk about that for a second, too, because, you know, the only teams that are comparable as far as number of playoff appearances, advancing to the league championship series and all that are basically the Yankees and the Dodgers, who have double your payroll. Not quite double, but 100 million more.
Really?
And, you know, I think that the high expectations and standards are what it should be for the Cardinals. And they set those expectations themselves. I mean, from the owner on down, they all say, we want to be a contender every year. That's our plan. We don't want to have rebuilding years. We're not going to tank. We're not going to do those things that the Cubs and the Astros did and be terrible for 5 years and then come out of the other end. We want to be good, like sustainably good for a long period of time. And, you know, they definitely have had their flaws and the mistakes. And, you know, I think we all can see the bad contracts that didn't work out or the trades that seemed like they didn't work out at the time. But, you know, big picture, it's hard to do what they do. It's hard to be good every year. You know, you're not always great every year, but you're good every year. And it's not unusual to go 10 years without a World Series. I mean, from 1967 until 82, I mean, they went 15 years between those two World Series. From 82 to 2006, 24 years without a World Series win. So, I mean, this is actually a relatively small amount of time when you kind of reference those previous gaps that you've had. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, if you're, what now, like late 30s or younger, you have no concept of any of those things.
Yeah, I'm 37, and I remember feeling like the 90s was rough, but it was coming back there at the end.
Yeah.
I'm not old enough to remember, like, from my own personal experience, the Cardinals in the 1980s. That's not really my era.
No. Do you have any memory of this team being terrible?
I do. Because I was around a lot of people who were complaining about it a lot.
Because they had some years in the 90s that weren't good. And
but
you know.
But my investment, especially my personal financial investment in buying tickets and attending games, is paying for a team that I know is competing and should compete at a level that is a winning level.
Right. I mean, that's the way it should be. I mean, they make enough money. They're a high revenue team. And their payroll usually reflects where they rank in terms of revenue. They're usually, you know, somewhere, you know, between 6 and 10 in annual revenue, and they're usually somewhere between 6 and 10 in payroll.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they've been good for a long time. And this year was basically 5 months of, uh-oh.
I was going to ask you, is this kind of a bipolar team?
Yeah.
Are we a good team? Are we hot at the right time and getting lucky, or is this what we've been waiting for the whole time?
I think it's definitely the team that's hot right now and getting a little bit lucky, but they were always better than what we saw those first 5 months. I mean, the problem for the first 5 months was nothing was ever kind of happening at the same time. You'd have a stretch where the starting pitching was really good, but the offense wouldn't be good. You'd have a stretch where the bullpen was amazing, but then the rotation wasn't getting deep enough into games, and they were wearing it too much, and then they slipped. And then you had a little stretch there where the offense was going, but the pitching was terrible. And they've had to sort through a bunch of problems. I mean, you know, they had too many pitchers roll through this team that just couldn't throw strikes. And you notice that once they got rid of them all, all of a sudden, the pitching stabilized.
Yeah.
Right? You replace all those guys that are walking everybody with John Lester and Jay Happ and Wade LeBlanc and Luis Garcia and TJ McFarland. And now you've got a stable pitching staff as opposed to the one that was just scattered all over the place.
Those are some good moves by the organization.
They were, and they're totally unheralded. Look, everybody was ticked off at the trade deadline. Like, that's it? Hap with a 6.5 ERA and John Lester, who's 100 years old? Like, that was what everybody was mad about. I shouldn't even say that because he's not even as old as Waino, and Waino's been amazing. Waino's going to get Cy Young votes. So, yeah. You know, but it was very underwhelming. Nobody was excited about Luis Garcia. He was playing at AAA for the Yankees. He's 34 and not even a part of the major league picture, which is insane to me. How is a guy throw 98 and throw strikes, but he wasn't good enough to be in the major leagues for the first 4 months of the season? I don't understand at all how that worked. And then, you know, we do have to bake in the injuries, right? I mean,
sure.
They didn't expect to have Jack Flaherty miss basically 3.5 months. They didn't expect to have Miles Michaelis pitch once in the first 4 months of the season.
Remember how, like, it's hard to remember back to this because of the way the team was at that point, but how amazingly good Jack Flaherty was until he got hurt. Like bonkers good. We wouldn't be talking about Wainwright.
Conversation good.
Yeah, right. In the same context if Jack Flaherty were there.
Yeah, I was watching the game yesterday, and that was an amazing comeback. I had written him off as that is a loss and was back working on some editing and stuff, and then I looked down, and next thing I know, it's 7-5, and I was like, oh. No, wait, that's a 7-5 Cardinals.
Yeah.
But they had put up a poll on YouTube, and they asked who was the Cardinals MVP of the year. And I think the four names that they put up on that poll were Arenado, Wainwright, Goldschmidt, and Tyler O'Neill. And the one that won that was Nolan Arenado. But I wanted to get your opinion. Who do you think of those four is the Cardinals MVP this year?
Well, I'd put it on Waino, and for the reason that those other three all have each other, right? They're all hitting 2, 3, and 4 in the order. There's three of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's one starting pitcher who has been good all season long from opening day until now. One.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's Adam Wainwright. I mean, you know, because I mentioned Flaherty and Michaelis have barely pitched. Ponce de Leon flamed out. Carlos Martinez flamed out and then got hurt. John Gant flamed out and then got traded. I mean, you can go through Oviedo flamed
out
back in the
minor
leagues.
Some of these names feel like they were from 5 years ago.
I know. And like, that's, to me, that's why I think Waino is the most valuable Cardinal this year, because he's the one that helped keep it all together on the pitching side. And this is a team that's built to be pitching and defense first. That's how they've been structured. And they have the best defense in baseball. And it's the second straight year that they have the best defense in baseball. But when you're walking people, there's no defense.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, you can't defend that. And as soon as they stopped walking people, as soon as they got rid of all the guys that are walking the house, funny, everything turned around and started to stabilize. And then, of course, the offense came in, and that's why you're hot, because basically everything's firing right now.
So, especially in the context of Wainwright and what he's contributed to this team, how big is it to have a veteran guy of his, not just his career success, but Adam Wainwright is like a dream locker room guy.
Oh, my God,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, does it get better than him? And how does that factor into that bipolar season where there are people who are quitting on this team sooner this year than some of the gripers would normally quit on the team.
Yeah, for sure.
How much does Wainwright fit into getting him back to where we are now, not just on the mound?
I think that he's a huge part of it. He may be even the biggest part of it, but they have other guys that are similar, right? I mean, Paul Goldschmidt's the same guy. You know, Nolan Arenado's the same guy. They're consistent day in and day out. They are the hardest workers on the team. You know, they've all experienced success, and Waino has probably had more team success than anybody else. He and Yachty. Mm-hmm. You know, you throw in Molina into that mix too, right? You've got the right group of players that can keep everybody else in line and focused and still on task, even though things aren't going well. And, you know, it's hard sometimes to hear, we're going to be fine, we're going to get hot, we're going to do this, because the players are saying it, Mike Schilt was saying it, and every fan's out there going, sure, yeah, you get hot next spring or whatever, you know. I mean, and it's understandable to have those back and forths, right? It's understandable that fans get frustrated. But my advice is always save the anger for when the season's over. Because
mm-hmm.
by then, you know what you need to be upset about or not, right?
It's materialized.
Yeah. I mean, like, so now, you're assuming things finish the way that they look, and there's almost no chance that they blow this now. I mean, you got a 4.5 game lead over the
Reds. We go
Reds.
500, and the Phillies have to win out.
Yep.
And we tie.
To tie you. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that's if you go 4-5 or 4-6 the rest of the way. So if you play 500, they have to go unbeaten.
I mean, we could still win the division. It's not mathematically impossible.
It's really hard, though.
Sure. We're going to play the Brewers three more times.
You need some advanced mathematical degrees to figure it out.
I'm saying, mathematically, I think it's more—I don't know if it's more likely or not. I was not good at statistics, so I'm just going to make some stuff up here.
Yeah.
But we could win the division almost as easily as we could not make the wild card.
That's not far off. Right. That's not far off. It's a little easier for them to lose their way out of the second wild card, but it's close. Those conversations are close. So if you look at it, you're 7.5 behind Milwaukee right now. They have 9 games left. You have 10.
Mm-hmm.
So they have 91 wins, and you have 83. So
3 of them against each other?
3 games against each other. So, I mean, essentially, you would need Milwaukee to lose out. So if they lose all of their games, they're at 91, and you need to go 8-2 to get to that.
We had a really bad. They did not look good for their last 4 games.
No, they've been struggling for weeks now.
Are they struggling, or are they at the end of their season? They're resting guys, and
no,
they're struggling.
They're struggling. Yeah,
Brewers fans
are a little bit nervous. They're a little bit upset. They're like, oh crap, this is the worst time of year for things to start going bad. You know, they're one of their star relievers has a calf injury now. Devin Williams, who's from St. Louis, by the way. But Devin is now, they don't know if he's going to go on the injured list, but it's one of the reasons he didn't pitch yesterday. If he pitches in yesterday's game, the Cardinals might not win that game. He's one of the best relievers in the National League, but he wasn't available. And obviously the Brewers haven't really hit now. I mean, they haven't hit probably since August. So it's been a good long bit.
I've got one more question, and I'm about to forget what it was. Oh, yeah. The first round. So we're looking at probably a wild card. Who would you rather play in the wild card first round? Would you rather have the Giants or the Dodgers in the first round?
This is the one to kick around here, right? So here's the scenario, right? They're both going to be 100-win teams, so they're both good, right? Do you want to face the Dodgers in a one and out and have to face Max Scherzer, who, you know, we all know he's probably going to win the Cy Young. He's the Vegas favorite to win the Cy Young. We know how tough he is. The guy that will probably be out there for the Giants is a guy named Kevin Gausman, who's been awesome this year, too. He's an all-star. Clearly the Giants are the easier team in that regard, though. You'd rather face Gausman than face Scherzer. But then you get to the division series.
You got to play one team,
play
one game.
One. Right.
And then you
got to
play the other one 5.
See,
so would you rather
at.
Face the Dodgers once and Scherzer once, or have to beat them 3 times with Scherzer starting at least 2 of those 5 games? And then the other ones, I mean, Walker Buehler's a Cy Young candidate, and Luis Urias leads Major League Baseball.
So you want to play Max Scherzer.
So I would rather have the Dodgers in the wild card.
I
think you got a much better chance in a one game, who the hell knows what's going to happen kind of game, than have to beat the Dodgers 3 out of 5.
Yep.
I think you can beat the. They're both. Neither one of them. You're going to be favored. You're going to be the underdog for sure.
But you're the hot team coming in.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm saying one game. Yeah. I'll take my chances.
And they're going to be. They don't have the luxury. Either team have the luxury going into the end of the season of resting guys.
Not now.
They're competing because they don't want to be in that game.
That's right.
They don't want to play the Cardinals that are the hot team coming.
Yeah, they're
in
separated by one game. So unless the math gets to a point in the final weekend where one of them is clinched, yeah, they're going to play right down to the wire. Mm-hmm.
In Wheeler's world, if you make the wild card game, did you make the playoffs?
Yes.
Yeah. when you answer these questions, you pass so much judgment on all the people that are trolling on Twitter. You're like, of course they do.
Yeah.
But all you say is, yes.
Well, the problem is that I think most fans are pretty rational. But there's the group.
Are you sure?
There's the group that's not.
They're
and
the
those
noisy
are the people,
ones.
Yeah, they're ones I always fight with on Twitter. And people, there are those people that are like, hey, listen, the only successful season is winning a World Series. Like, really? So you're a billionaire and you own your own company, and because you don't accept anything but complete and total success.
Yeah.
Right? I'm sure you apply that standard in your own life, right? There are levels of achievement, right? I mean, when you're in school, if you get a B, is that a bad grade?
We just discussed this yesterday.
But
getting a wild card is like getting a B.
It all depends on your expectations and your effort.
Sure. So
and
the
maybe
Cardinals
a B
are an
is,
A student
yeah.
that gets a B. So it's not exactly what you hope for, but it's also not a disaster.
You don't have
your
to repeat
your GPA is still going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, winning the World Series is an A+.
Mm-hmm.
Getting to the World Series is an A-. You know, getting to the League Championship Series to me is it's a success. There's 30 teams, and 20 of them will not be doing any of these things. And you're going to have, if it holds, you're going to have the 4th best record in the National League. How's that not a good year?
Yeah.
It's not, again, there's levels of success. There's not like pass, fail. It's not that.
Yep.
It's there's ultimate success, and then there's a little bit less than that, and then there's a little bit less than that. And getting to a wild card game and losing is a successful year, but it's not good enough.
Room for improvement.
Yes, exactly. This team should go more than that. That should be the expectation.
Before we let you go, I just want to give you the opportunity to talk about the St. Louis Blues, because we're upon that season here shortly. What are your expectations? What are you kind of leaning into right now as we get upon hockey season?
I expect them to be one of the best teams in the West. I mean, I don't know that they're as good as Colorado. Colorado's awfully good. But, you know, they still have to sort through the Tarasenko thing. But he's healthy. He's in camp. He's going to play hard, because if he wants to get traded, he has to show that he's good.
Yeah.
And if he shows that he's good, he might get what he wants. But he's in camp now. They got Thomas signed. So really, there's nothing hanging over the team. They're deeper than they've been in recent years. You know, with Vlad being healthy, with Buchnevich coming in. And, you know, they lost Jaden Schwartz, but they added both Buchnevich and Saad. So they add two guys that are top six wingers and lose mm-hmm. one. So I think you're actually a deeper team up front than you were at any point last year, because Vlad was hurt all year, so
sure.
You didn't really have that. Now the questions are on the defense. Do they have enough, right? Is Parayko going to be healthy? Is his back going to hold up? Can he be your number one guy? Because that's the plan. They're paying him like a number one guy. They let Pietrangelo go and kept Parayko because they want Parayko to be that number one guy. So if he's healthy enough to be that, then everything else should slot in behind. But yeah. I think the biggest concern probably, you know, is how that D sorts out.
Last year's season was high expectations, injuries,
yeah.
and
oh, the
it
injuries
never,
were insane.
Never
yeah.
materialized. Is this season, from a COVID standpoint, are we back to normal for the most part in the schedule and the
close
transportation?
Yeah, I mean, like, the it should look like baseball has. It should be a regular year. They have their some rules, and
yeah.
like so for in the NHL, the league and the Players Association agreed that any player that misses time due to COVID will be unpaid during that absence. Yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, and I have to look into it a little more. I'm not sure if that's just for people that are unvaccinated, but I think it's anybody. I think COVID, because they want people to follow the rules.
As possible and invest everything into.
That's what they want everybody to
and
be.
And money
as
talks.
Well, that's it, right.
That's how you get people to comply.
That's exactly right. Well, that's a good point. Right, right.
Yeah.
These guys have millions of reasons to want to be on the ice, right? I mean, and they also have the competitive side too, right? I mean, these guys are so invested in competing and being there for their teammates that it probably pushes them enough to where you're not going to have to worry about too many people kind of pushing the boundaries, if you will, like taking too many risks.
I'm way over time, but Brad, yeah, don't.
Yes,
you are. Break.
Brad asked me, or Brad put out on Twitter in the beginning of the NCAA football season that he was in the market for a college football team. I told him,
"You're the U.
Go Irish." And I know that you either are already a fan of the Irish, or you've probably just learned you're supposed to hate them. I know you're not an Irish fan.
Oh, I've hated them since I was a child.
It's a hobby.
Yeah.
Who's your team?
Miami Hurricanes, mm-hmm. unfortunately. We're awful.
My heart belongs to this team, but my head cheers for that team?
No, I have one team that I care about.
That's what I'm looking for as yeah. a team.
I watch a lot of Alabama
mm-hmm.
because they're good, so it's entertaining.
Yeah.
My daughter went to Alabama. She went there for both.
That's a good reason.
Yeah, both undergrad and for her master's too. But I don't root for Alabama. I don't really care.
They don't need you to.
No. She gave me a couple of like Alabama shirts, and I'm like, oh, they're cool. I'll wear them. I mean, they're fine. But I mean, I'm not the guy that's going to change allegiances just because my kid went to a school.
Yeah.
My team stinks, and I'm going to ride it out.
He is a committed fan. I appreciate that.
I mean,
that.
You know, when I was in school, we didn't lose a home game in 5 years, mm-hmm. 4 years, the 4 years that I was there. And I was there during the first 30 for 30. If you saw those 30 mm-hmm. for 30s, that was the first one was my time.
Awesome.
Yeah.
See, I think that the Irish, I can sell you on the Irish more than he just did on the Hurricanes.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to be a front runner, then, you know, Alabama, Georgia,
mm-hmm.
Clemson, Notre Dame. If you're trying to get in early on something, I don't know, man. The sport is so top heavy and so dominated mm-hmm. by a few schools.
I was gonna say, if you want to be an Irish fan, you're gonna enjoy the season and then the playoffs. Just
don't worry about
maybe
it.
Maybe just jump
grab
in
a drink.
On, maybe jump in on Mizzou.
Mizzou.
I mean, a tough spot, but Coach Drinkwitz is pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's only year two, so it's hard to know what it's going to be, but at least he's entertaining.
All right, Brad, I'll break.
Okay.
Kevin, thank you.
See ya.
Good to have you in here. We appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break. Ryan Wiggins is going to join us back in studio here shortly. Trisha as well. Brad and I, we're going to have a little fun as we move into the Friday weekend. Hope you're enjoying the beautiful weather out there. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Ryan Wiggins is back in here. And he immediately came in here and commented on
the smell in the room.
I said it was good, though. I didn't say it was like poop. Doesn't smell good in here.
This is why we can't have nice things, Ryan.
You're standing right next to where Kevin Wheeler was, so
the man must have smelled pretty good.
Yeah.
Because I assumed it was one of you, but you said, nope, we smell terrible.
That's pretty sexist of you. Kevin Wheeler was just standing right there where you are, and you said it smelled pleasant, and you just assumed it was the girls?
I didn't assume that I was walking into another man's aura. I just assumed it was somebody in the room because I'm looking at you.
Michael on Facebook says, wow, another sad song choice. Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you.
Is Mbop a sad song, or is he just not like it?
It's about the happiest song you can come up with.
No kidding. It's the song you play in nurseries. Make the kids happy. Mbop.
Kids crying, get Hanson quick.
But play the deep cuts. Get the other CDs.
How many songs did Hanson put out? How many albums did Hanson put out?
That's a great question.
Are they the group now, like, didn't they, like, grow up and, like, aren't they all, like, ripped out, or one of them is, like, a bodybuilder now?
Maybe.
That sounds about right. That sounds like something they should do.
Sounds like, of the people in here, Brad, you were the most informed on Hanson.
Yeah, that's something that I feel like.
What else do you know about them?
They had long hair when I was in school.
Yeah.
And they were brothers.
And they were brothers.
They sang Mbop. That's it.
And now they're super ripped.
It looks like they have over 20 albums.
No.
No way.
Like,
right up through 2020, they're still making them.
They are still working.
Yes. Well, some of these are probably greatest hits, which would include, you know, the song Mbop and other versions of Mbop.
They went the Linkin Park route and just remixed it like 8 times.
I love Linkin Park.
Christopher on Facebook says, I played it for my toddler, almost 4 years old, and my son Edison said, I like these girls.
See? Good job, Edison. He's a wise, wise man.
That's awesome.
Michael really wants us to play Limp Bizkit.
He really does.
He's really advocating hard for that.
Man, if there's a band that epitomizes bands I hated from the moment where you're supposed to hate bands, that's it. That's the band.
They're kind of hateable, but like that's kind of part of the thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I mean, obviously they want to be liked, but they want to be liked for not being likable.
No, you're right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes. Their whole thing was, we don't even care if you like us. We're so amazing that you should hate us because we're so cool.
I'm trying to think of what Fred Durst, like his voice would sound like.
I had their album.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the album was.
I don't remember what it was called.
All I know is that in the year 2000, not to borrow a Conan O'Brien phrase, I had a friend who 100% of the time that I saw him for about 2 years wore a backward red Yankee hat. Because of Fred Durst. And we were like, dude, that's stupid. And he leaned into it. He's like, no, it's not. It's just my thing. I was doing it before Fred Durst, which is a lie.
What is Fred Durst doing today?
He actually was in a couple movies. This isn't recent, but in the late 2000s, he tried to go into acting. And while he was bad, he picked pretty good movies to be in. So he wasn't a great actor, but the movies were
successful?
Okay. Yeah, they were okay movies. There was one where like he was in a town, and it's like a couple shows up in a town. It's my favorite kind of plot.
It's the second thing Googled with Fred Durst. What's Fred Durst doing now?
Anyway, yeah.
Go ahead.
Couple shows up in a town, and it's a small town, and they find out that they're kind of trapped there, and the townspeople are all conspiring against them. I love that kind of stuff. You put that on a movie box, and I'm buying the VHS.
Man. All right, well, we'll try to up our game for the music selections for the rest of the show here by actually changing them. Some of them were still from yesterday. When we come back, we're going to have Rob Kramer in studio. We're going to talk about what's trending out in the digital world and maybe... the thing that I really like about when he comes in and tells us some of these things is because oftentimes the things he talks about are things that I see, but I scroll over when I'm trying to do stuff for the show. And it gives me context to things that the rest of the world is talking about. Things that, generally speaking, more people are talking about in the world than the things that I'm talking about. It's like more commonplace to understand this type of stuff. Plus, Rob is crazy and fun. So he'll be in here in studio with us in just a minute. A reminder, it's a fun time to watch the YouTube live stream or the Facebook live stream or the Annie Fry Show Twitter live stream. It's all the same stream. We just are on multiple platforms so we can serve you in the best place. Just like why we play Hanson and Mbop. Michael, turn this up. It sounds good in your ears and in your heart and in your soul. We'll be back with Rob Kramer in a minute.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.